Instructional Designers in Offices Drinking Coffee is brought to you by Domino, makers of Domino One, the cloud-based authoring tool for e-learning. Learn how your team can work together better at domino.com. That's DOMINKNOW.com. Now, here's this week's episode.
Music sounds awfully familiar today. Well, hello, hello, hello. Oh, give us some 3D effects. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Welcome to episode 200.
Bicentennial.
The Biceptennial episode.
Chris, can you believe you and I have been sitting in these chairs every Wednesday morning just about for 200 episodes?
Yeah, after episode one, I lost track.
I was waiting for him to say I lost interest after that. Yeah.
I don't feel a day over episode 29.
Oh man, well it's it's apropos. It's a worthy 200th episode to have as our guest Kevin Thorne from our famous Drink and Draw episodes, where we talk about all things drawing and sketching and doing the creative work of the e-learning instructional design L&D professional. But before we get to that, how's the weather everywhere? Jeez, I almost forgot to ask everybody.
How's the weather everywhere?
Where are you coming from, folks? Drop it into the chat. Whew, I'm a little rusty today.
we take the month of August off, and all of our normal processes just completely evaporated on us.
I'm in Arizona, so my brain just melts, and yeah, very, I come back waiting for it to solidify again.
Maybe instead of asking about the weather, we should ask how everybody's allergies are. You know, that seems to be more of a
allergies are good. Days, eh? Well, I'm in the South, so it's still in the 90s, and the humidity's usually the humidity is typically higher than the ambient temperature.
That's brutal, and that water in the air weights down the pollen and holds.
Yeah, you can just
to the ground.
You can breathe your daily water intake.
Oh my.
Scuba tanks on the wall for going outside. Yeah, I talked with.
I went
both
out
of
to
you.
The.
Go ahead, Kevin.
No, I was. I went out. It was over the weekend. I went out to get the mail. Or well, it was a holiday, so the recycle bin usually goes on Monday. It's a holiday, so it doesn't go on Tuesday. So it was yesterday, and I forgot to get the mail the day before. Well, Saturday. Anyway, it was kind of one of those things, and so I said, "Well, I'll go out and I'll take the thing out." Okay. So I come back in, and I says, and my wife said, "You are going to take another shower." I said, "I just took a shower like an hour ago." She goes, "Yeah, but you just went outside. You walked all the way to the end of the driveway. Clearly, you need another shower." I got to thinking, you know, I am a little sticky from walking out there. It is, Chelsea, my Pizza Planet shirt. It is.
Oh, that's hilarious. Sketching and drawing.
And kudos to Chelsea for picking up on that. I think the last time we were in the green room in our last episode, I asked you about the shirt because my brain was processing.
Did I wear the same shirt last time?
One of the previous episodes, because I know I asked you about it because I was trying to figure out if it was real pizza or something else. Yeah. And then you sort of anchored me in on the actual.
I only wear it on special occasions.
Yeah, we're special. We're special here.
Oh man, and there's cool. An Atari behind Chris. Yes,
anybody see Elf? dated. So
yes.
Elf back there.
Oh, yeah.
I need to start watching those reruns. It's been a long time. Good times. Good time. Yeah, somebody noticed your Atari behind you there, Chris.
Yeah, and I cannot claim ownership of it. Disclaimer, these are all things collected largely by our CEO here at Domino. And I've just raided we have a display of them out in the main room, but I raided a bunch of them to just make my office look cool. I'm not cool.
It's a cool looking office.
There is nothing better than having archaic historical technology behind you, especially when it's gaming technology. Well, okay, folks, creative visual languages. And actually, wow, boy, are we rustier than ever. Maybe for those folks who have no idea what a Kevin Thorne is, what a Nugget Head is.
Oh, right, yeah.
We should probably let Kevin introduce himself.
Yeah, I totally missed that, you know. Hey, gang, here's Anonymous.
What is that? What is that on the screen? What is that?
Oh, my.
I'm sorry,
we should have had a warm-up episode or something.
We ought to make a list.
A checklist, right?
Oh, boy.
All right, Tag, you're it. Your turn. Hi, everybody. Kevin Thorne. Been around this industry better part of 2 decades. And, you know, the whole accidental instructional designer, I'm one of those. You know, I started as a delinquent teenager. And then ran away and joined the Army, did that for a career. And then there was no marketable skill to live under a pine tree, so I had to get a real job. And then I went back and got a degree in IT. That led me to corporate America, which led me to the training department, which led me to all things creative, you know, e-learning and designing experiences, if you will. And I've been an artist, cartoonist, drawer, doodler my whole life, so I found a way to How can I implement my hobby, my interest in creative art into e-learning? So kind of cut my teeth at that corporate cubicle farm, started freelancing, and freelancing got to be a full-time gig. So one had to go. So I quit the corporate gig. When was that? 2012. So 10 years ago. Been doing this ever since, and then got some kind of thirst for knowledge bug about 5 years, 6 years ago. Went back to school, got my master's in instructional design. And after this, at 12 p.m. today, I am taking my oral comprehensive exam to become a bona fide doctoral candidate if I pass. So that's today, later. And then
congratulations.
My research interest is comics in learning, using visual language and comics to tell stories, digital storytelling, and the benefits of retention of information.
The oral comprehension exam, is that like in the pill form, or is it like a syrup that you take? Or
I wish it was that easy.
No. In all seriousness, you know, congrats on that, and you know, we're rooting for you today for sure.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Indeed. I'm glad this is here, because otherwise I'd be an anxiety mess. You know, you're always anticipating, you're nervous about a big exam. Yeah. And I wish the exam was at like 6 a.m. just to get it over with. But because it's in the middle of the day, this is great, like, distractor this morning.
Yeah, we'll take your mind off it.
And last time Kevin was here, he was showing us how he turned a family vacation into basically sort of a comic book kind of approach as a way of, like, you know, creating a memento of it, etc. Brent's got a poll in the polls there. You folks who are joining us might see it,
because I gave everybody homework.
That's right. Despite it being summer vacation, Brent was mean. So anyway, it'd be interesting to know, you know, if anyone took advantage of what Kevin showed us. And I'm going to vote no. I think I could do the homework.
I didn't do the homework either. Well, I didn't actually take a vacation, so.
We do have one vote for yes, so that's kind of fun.
Hey, all right.
Kudos to the Keeners. Woohoo!
Unless that's Kevin putting the yes in there.
No, I'm not doing that.
Excellent. And one of the recurring themes that we've had through different visits with Kevin have been things like the creative, you know, language communicating using visuals, whether that's been, you know, a simple thing as a way of getting started with a storyboard or just even capturing ideas in the, you know, early stages of an instructional design through to, you know, we've done some things with characters and diversity and stuff like that today too. So when we're dipping back a little bit towards those visual languages and returning back in that direction a bit with today's episode. But we do also want to just make sure, hey, if you've got questions as we go along, toss them into the chat or the official question panel, whichever way you want to go. And the cool thing about having Kevin with us is that even though we're not just talking here. Folks, we are not just talking, we're doing. Kevin will actually be drawing during our episode. So maybe I shouldn't say we. Kevin will be doing. Brent and I are just here for the talking.
Oh, I try to follow along. I have my trusty whiteboard here.
Oh, there
so
we go.
If I need to show any examples of my amazing visual language skills, I'll whip them out for you.
Yep, mostly my visual language skills are like those characters that they use instead of letters in the swear words. That's my visual language right there.
That is a good visual language. Yes.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if we were going to talk about visual languages, I just want to be clear with everybody. Everybody needs a visual language at some point. You've all, whether you're an instructional designer, whether you think you're creative, whether you illustrate regularly or not, or you just dream of being an illustrator like Kevin, you know, all of us have to get up in front of folks at one point or another, maybe in front of a whiteboard, maybe in a PowerPoint presentation or something, and you need to visually represent your ideas or something that you're trying to do. And visual language is one of those things that everybody can benefit from knowing, even just the basics. So maybe, Kevin, you want to start off in that vein? Or
yeah, so, I mean, we could go in a thousand different directions. So my first encouragement, design starts on paper. And you've heard that before, right? So, I mean, one of my favorite stories is the 2010 Dodge Viper. I think it was 2010 when that car came out. It was designed on a napkin, literally on a paper napkin, initially at a cocktail bar. And then they went into production. So there are so many stories about how things start on paper because an idea hits and you sketch it out. And then that's kind of like your inspiration piece for those of you that are interior designers. You know, you go, my wife does this and well, I do this too. We'll go get a pillow, throw it on the floor. It's like, oh, there, the whole room is going to be decorated behind this pillow, the decorative pattern. So it's about finding that inspiration. So being creative, it doesn't have anything to do with your artistic skill. So let's make that clear. It doesn't, this is not, there's a skill involved, but it's not whether or not you can draw. Let me put it that way. But I encourage you to be observant because inspiration is all around you. It's just thinking about how can I repurpose this idea into my work? So it could be anything from a custom interface for e-learning. It could be, a scene, a setting to kind of communicate a conceptual story, or it can be conceptual where it's more of an analogy. You're trying to communicate a sequence. So how you do it, approach it, we don't have enough time to go into all the different disciplines of what that would work. But I could start with the visual language, the visual alphabet. We've done that before, but I've got some examples to kind of summarize what I was just saying. So let me see if I can turn this thing back on here. I'm using iPad Pro with Procreate. That's my digital tool of choice. But I just got this awesome vintage American steel standing drafting table.
I saw a picture of that in your Twitter feed.
It's yesterday. Can you see it? Where is it? Where is it? There it is. Look at that monster.
Look at that.
That is a classic.
Yeah. Oh no, my camera's gonna fall. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Oh, my gosh.
And just so people understand, even though he does have digital tools of choice, it is like pen and paper because he does use the pencil and he actually does draw in the
everything starts on paper.
So it's always with the hand. Or digital paper, however, whatever the case may be, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I done flubbered it. Hang on, let me start over. Hang on.
Yeah. Well, while you're hooking that up, the other piece I just wanted to add that I think is really important for the work that we do is when you're out doing instructional design analysis stuff and you're talking to your SMEs or you're talking to your stakeholders, taking what they give to you, when you ask questions, when you start to try to draw out of them what it is that they want, being able to take their ideas and their thoughts and to put it in a visual language form to show back to them and say, is this what you're telling me? Is this what you mean? I think is exceptionally critical and important. It's one thing to be able to write it all out in words and say, this is what I heard, but to be able to show them, this is what I hear you saying. I think, visually, I think is an incredibly valuable and an important skill to apply this to as well.
So this is the fundamental visual alphabet. Everything really kind of starts here. Credit to Dave Gray at explain.com for coming up with this, golly, 15 years ago, or at least he defined it. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of research that goes all the way back about different approaches to visual communication and visual language. Dave Gray kind of defined it as an alphabet. So if we look at these 12, well, there's 12 symbols or glyphs, if you will. On the second row there, pentagon to cloud, you see the ellipsis. So
are you sharing your screen?
I thought I was.
Am I not? I'm not seeing it.
Well, let's see. Wow, you can tell we're new at this, right?
It feels just like our first episode. It's a nostalgia trip for me.
I'm sorry. Hang on. Let me...
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
I know what I got to do. I got to pop this browser out, put it over here.
Jamie's noting we can see your monitor in the reflection of your glasses, Kevin. So maybe if you just zoom in with that. There we go. Now we can all see it. There we go. Just are those glasses touchscreen?
Is that what they mean by leaning into it?
Yeah, right. hope there's nothing confidential on my monitor. All right.
Well, now we all know which Darth Vader stuffy you're ordering next for your collection.
A little late, but I finally found it. Come on.
Come on. Why is this not connecting?
Knocking the dust off here.
I'm having so much fun trying to figure this out. Here we go.
Just tell me what to draw. I'll go ahead and sketch it up for you.
That didn't help either.
We're seeing the camo panel. Maybe a different monitor?
Yeah.
Or move some things around.
By the way, folks, we might as well just pitch this too. I mean, we're talking about Procreate, but Kevin's currently using the Camo app on his iPhone as his webcam, which is kind of cool. So for those of you who like to geek out on the technology we use, that is another good one.
I have no idea where my Procreate screen is at. It's showing that it's up.
You see it on your screen?
It's showing that it's connected, but I can't find the screen where it's connected at. Let's try again. It should come right up here in there. Okay, now let's... Well, you know...
Let's see if I remember the visual alphabet. Let's test Brent's skills. See if I get this right, Kevin. Okay, here we go. A line.
Yep.
Oh, that's an at sign. A spiral? That's one, right?
Yep, that's one. 10 more to go.
Circle?
No.
No? Dang it. How about a dot?
A dot? Yes.
Whew. Anybody, somebody help me out in the chat. Come on, people. Let's go.
Well, I'm disappointed. This is not
a triangle.
Connected. Yes.
Why isn't a circle in it then? Dang it. Maybe a square?
Well, you're right. A circle is in there. I'm just teasing you.
Oh, okay. Circles had to be in there. What else do we have?
Does this thing have a whiteboard by chance?
No. Crowdcast?
I don't think it does.
I mean, it was working a minute ago. I had it up and running. And now it's not going to sync on me here. Well, let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about it. I can turn it around and show you that way, I guess.
Let's default to that. What the heck?
Let's do that. There we go. There, I'm sharing my screen. How about
there
that?
There we go. Oh, the arc. I totally forgot the arc. What else did I forget? The eye, which is just two arcs. Oh, the cloud.
And the see me under here? I'm looking underneath so I can see.
And the pentagon.
We see your chin. So let's jump.
Yeah,
in.
So the idea is that the first row, right? You got a dot, line, arc, angle, spiral, and a loop. And then if you kind of look at the second row, the circle is there's it's infinite, right? So there's no dot, there's no corner. The eye has two endpoints, triangles 3, squares 4, pentagons 5. And then the ellipsis continues on to 6-point, 7-point, octagon, 8-point, and so on and so forth. And then the cloud represents just, you know, whatever, just your ultimate intimate or infinite shape.
Yeah.
And then below that, you can see that each one of these elements or these icons or these objects are communicated as simply as possible with as minimal lines as necessary in order to communicate a message. So picture frame, classic TV set, clock, a dead emoji, I guess, is that it? And then a party hat, a cat. Now, if you look at the cat down there in this one down here in the corner, it is only using 4 of the characters of the alphabet, the circle, the arc, the line, and the dot. But it's how you like the tail is one arc and then an inverted arc going the opposite way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does, but I'll say that I don't think just randomly, like if I hadn't seen you do that, if you said use the visual alphabet and draw a cat, I don't think that's what I would have come up with.
No. Yeah, because that's skill. That's skill. The alphabet helps you develop that skill.
Okay.
So,
and that's why we're here, upskilling everybody.
Well, what you do is you take that alphabet and then you come up with a list of nouns to start with, not metaphors, because metaphors, they tend to get a little trickier, right?
Right.
So start with things, right? Just come up with a list of things and say, okay, using only the characters in the alphabet, communicate a pair of spectacles, right? So yep. Let's see, let's look at another one. People. So there's different types of people. So when you're trying to communicate, ooh, like action, interest, and it just, this becomes style, right? Do you like the box mm-hmm. people? Do you like the Weebles people? Do you like the pencil people, the star people? So you come up to one that you are comfortable with quickly. I can draw a star pretty quickly. Or I can draw a square box people faster. And you just come up with that concept and then you own it. That's your it's just like you're signing your name. When I draw a person, this is the style of the person I'm always going to draw or sketch or doodle. To communicate, there's two people talking, or there's a person running, or there's a person standing here gesturing, right? So as you go along, yeah. you develop your own style, just like your writing style. We're all, you know, most everybody I imagine in this audience, we all have our own writing style when it comes to writing scripts, when it comes to writing instruction. We have our own style, and that style has evolved and perfected over time. The more you do it, the more you refine your own style. It's the exact same thing. The theory behind the visual language theory, and there's an actual paper called I Can't Draw. And it's a research article. The reason I can't draw, I say, you ever heard that before? How many in this audience says, well, that's great, man, but I can't draw? Oh, that'd be wonderful. That's really cool, but I can't draw. Well, the reason you can't draw is because you stopped practicing. So think of everything in your life that you're really good at. Are you a really great cook? Are you really great embroiderer? Are you a really great potterer? Any of these other crafts or things that you create, you've perfected it and mastered it over your life. And then you've created a style. So I'm thinking of pottery. I'll go to the local farmer's market. There's several potterers that have their wares out every week. And you can distinctly tell, I know that artist because of that. So I can look at that potter and say, I know exactly who did that. It's the same thing with art. It's the same thing with drawing. So the theory or the article I can't draw is that usually right around the age 6, 7, 8 years old, we're all drawing when we're kids. We're all doodling crayons. Everybody's doing it. Most kids are drawing. Well, then as they get older into their preteens, they have other interests. Sports, music, choir, band, whatever it is. And then they stop practicing their doodling and their drawing. Those that continue to push through that and say, well, I like this better than chess club. I like this better than playing baseball. I like this better than playing the tuba. I want to draw more. And that was me. Instead of joining all those clubs, I came home and I kept drawing every day after school. In fact, true story, and I think I've told this before, and I can't remember how old I was. It was in elementary school. I got in trouble because I had finished my in-class homework. And I started doodling on the edges and the margins, and I flipped it over and I started drawing. I made a complete mess out of the paper because I was drawing little characters all over it. And of course, I got in trouble because I was drawing on my homework. Now, I finished my homework. That's irrelevant. The fact that I was drawing on my homework, regardless if it was finished or not. And back then in the day, I don't know, I'm dating myself, but back then teachers actually picked up the phone and called your parents. Said, hey, you know, you need to talk to Kevin. He's been like disruptive today. And then you get home and then your mom's like, how was school today? Oh, it was great. Anything you want to tell me? No. Are you sure? Well, when your dad gets home, it's like, what did I do? Right. I'm trying to think, what kind of trouble did I get in? Well, it turns out my teacher made me write 100 times. I will not draw on my homework as punishment. Well, then when my dad found out, he gets home and he says, well, you're going to stop that. So you need to do it 500 more times for me. So I had a total of 600 times I had to write, I will not draw my homework. So here's an opportunity to practice block letters and balloon letters. So I went to my room and I drew 600 times, I will not draw my homework, in block letters and perspective letters and balloon letters. And I just practiced lettering. And I took that as an opportunity to practice, right? That's a true story. You know, if my parents were around, they would verify that for me.
What was the reaction to that approach, Kevin?
Just, you know, shaking their head. You delinquent. Okay, good. You know,
they didn't add 500 more.
No,
okay, I'm just checking.
Well, it got. I mean, that was elementary. You should have seen what I almost didn't graduate high school because I was drawing. Now that's for another day. So here's places. So think of places and then you see the sort of the legend at the bottom of each one of those.
Yeah.
So this is how you practice, right? So think of places. So, you know, start with nouns, people, places, things, come up with a list and then just write out randomly 5 people, 5 places, 5 things. So you have 15 things. and then pull up the alphabet and then try to recreate those from that list that you created. That's practice. And as you become to do that, then you you begin to start seeing things and metaphors and analogies, and you can begin to create different things. Hang on, let me get to this other. I got a little. This might be fun to do. we're going to tell a story. So we're going to need everybody to participate in chat.
Oh, yay. We have audience participation coming up.
Here we go. Ready? Now I'm going to show you an image, and then we're going to build a story based on these images. Okay. So here's the first image. What's going on there in that frame?
Online shopping.
Online shopping. Okay.
I went somewhere different than the office.
Yeah, okay. I was just going to say Kevin working, but I like online shopping better.
Now, where's the story go? Online shopping.
Ooh, customer service to find out where my package is gone.
Okay, here we go. Getting there.
Jennifer's saying that the first panel is her watching Idiotic. I love it.
Yeah. Quiet quitting day, right, Patty? All right, phone ringing. We got so what's happening here?
Person answering.
Okay.
Support now, answering.
These first four frames. Okay, now we're getting to sequential narrative, visual sequential narrative. Chelsea. That's great.
I love it.
So
we have the best chat room ever.
So we think of sequential narrative. What we're happening in this first set of panels is we're establishing an environment. We're establishing a scene. And we don't need any words here. We don't need any narrate. We can just have music in the background. But we've automatically set you in that environment. So, okay, there's a desk, a phone's ringing, somebody's answering the phone, and it's 20 minutes after 12, according to this clock. So now I know what time of day it is. I know where the environment is. And now we can set the mood. We can set the emotion that goes along with that. But then we can throw a wrench in the whole story. Now what's happening?
Time is money.
Clearly. Time is money. There's an analogy, metaphor. It's like, so maybe there was some kind of deal made on the phone. Meet me at 12:20. Now we've got some secret conspiracy perhaps going on.
Or it could just be a Craigslist purchase.
There you go. Could be. Wait a minute.
It was a bookie on the phone.
Good one, buddy. Right. Yeah.
Hospital.
Could be. Pizza order. as a pizza order. And now here's the big wrench.
Well, this changes everything. I can sense
this. This changes everything.
Wow.
Clearly we're now waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, way. Oh, dang it. Come on, Mr. Button Machine.
Bada bing, bada boom. Okay. Now we get.
Ooh, leaving the scene.
Leaving the scene. And
Sharon threw in Cinderella. I'm about to shoot.
That's a male version of Cinderella. I mean, you know, not to. It looks like a man's shoe. Sorry, that's just why I went there. We should probably keep it like.
It could be just general Oxfords.
There you go.
So these last three here, you know, the car leaving the city, arriving at the airport, flying away. So if you, like, and then.
Shoe addiction.
And then we get to a deserted island somewhere. Right. And then lastly, the cliffhanger.
It was a travel agent all along.
Then now we have to have a cliffhanger. And that ends the story. Now, this exercise, if you will, and by the way, everything in here is pick out all the alphabet. The what is that thing? Oops. There we go. Everything in here uses the visual alphabet.
Yep.
Every icon, every scene, everything. Lines, dots, arcs, triangles, squares. So, again, the exercise is sometimes we're looking for a story and then we can't. We're trying to force the story. So start with random objects and then move them around. So one of the – I don't know if I can do this. So if you don't like the way things are, then you move and you it's like cards, right? You move them around and then the story changes. So I can slide things around and move them in and practice like, oh, that story doesn't make sense. Oh, there's a something, you know, something in the way there. Yeah, you kind of get the idea what I mean there, but if you're struggling with coming up with a script or coming up with a story, start with the visuals first.
Yeah.
And let the visuals create the story for you. And that will inspire that. I will promise you inspiration will come from doing an exercise like this because, oh, wait, what if the person did this? What if they did that? Oh, this is where we need some kind of activity. So let's, yeah. You know, we have to lead into that. And then we have to have, and maybe there's a, there's a little thing that I've been working on called bump and jump. So you're taking the instruction and then you bump into a wall, right? There's like this dead end. And then you present the learner with a challenge and they have to jump over the challenge or jump through it or accomplish it, you know, get a reward. So it's, you know, bump and jump kind of a thing. But you put these little bump and jumps all the way through your course, which, you know, they think they're rolling along real quick and then, boom, slam, you hit a wall. It's like, wait, how do I get past the wall? Well, you've got to solve this problem, you know. Achieve this thing.
It all of a sudden dawns on me that this would be an excellent way, what you just showed in a lot of like process training and whatnot. Like when you're out talking to a subject matter expert, some people are doing a particular process wrong or skipping steps, or maybe there was a break and you're trying to figure out, or you're trying to just figure out what correct looks like, right? You could list it all out, step one, step two, and write it and use words, or you could sketch out and maybe add words to each one of those panels to be a little bit more clear, maybe to start.
Yeah, a little bit. There's
sketch it out a little bit, show it to the subject matter expert, right? Let them review that and go, yeah, there's kind of a step in the middle. Oh, okay. Because now you're collaborating back and forth and you're both on the same page and there's not going to be any misunderstandings because there was a micro step or something assumed in between step four and step five. There was this other one. If you could put it in visuals, I think you're less likely to run into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And there's research and everything about the endorphins that fire in our brain when we start working in analog, because there's too many distractions and noise digitally, right? Even if we're writing, we have the shortcut keys. We go flip. Oh, look, let's check out social media real quick. Or you've got all the dings and bings and stuff that go on while you're in front of a computer or you know, a tablet. So my new little desk over there, I have to physically get up out of this chair, go over there, and there's nothing digital over there. It's all analog. So it's just me and my brain and a piece of paper, and I can think. Right. And I can sketch out and I can start moving things around and things will start emerge out of the paper. I promise you things will emerge and come up out of there. And then once you formulate that, now you can start adding words. Okay. Now I've got an outline. Now I can start doing this. Let me show you another example. And we'll get to some questions.
Drop some questions in, folks. If you have any, or if you have a particular project you're working on,
we're working on this, project, this industrial. So to give you set the setting, there's some kids that were part of this STEM club, and they built a robot. And the robot, they're wanting to learn history, but they couldn't travel to these different places they wanted to learn about. So they decided they were going to build a robot and then send the robot to go learn for them and then come back and bring back all the information. So it's kind of a history for STEM kids kind of thing. And we wanted this sort of gamification industrial look to it. So we needed an interface. So we sketched out, or I sketched out, an interface. So this now becomes the actual e-learning interface. And then the corners, the buttons change, and then you got a control panel with some navigate. And then the panels on each side kind of slide in and out, and the lights go on based on your progress, depending on what you're doing. And then content just sits right there in the middle. So just the look and feel of the interface kind of puts you into that, I'm in the basement building a robot kind of STEM idea. And surprisingly, this first sketch was approved. Usually it takes 10 or 12 of those to get through, but that first one actually made it through.
They loved it right off the bat. And I will echo your comment about needing to step away from the digital side of things and working that, the whole cognitive science behind touching something physical, whether it's the pen to the paper and thinking it through and drawing it, or the Lego stuff that you do.
Yeah, it's
to help people be creative. Yeah, being able to touch, even if it's metaphorically, even if it's not real, there's something about that that does actually work and really helps you start to think differently. And sometimes it can be frustrating, but it's frustrating in a good way, because you run up against those walls like you're talking about, and it forces you to think through them and to come up with another solution or another way and to get over them. And to practice doing that is incredibly important.
Well, even if you're still uncomfortable or intimidated by the idea of analog design, I would encourage you to just start with, like coloring books. It's the act of, like Brent was just saying, it's the act of working with your hands, whether it's playing Lego, whether it's coloring, it releases, it unlocks some certain things, like a deeper sense of thinking. There's all these ideas always happen when we're not at our desk. You know what I'm talking about, right? Or you're out doing garden work out in the yard, or you're in the shower, like, oh, what a brilliant idea. And then you can't remember the idea because you didn't write it down. You know, we get hundreds of those a day, right? But if you practice that as a discipline, that I need an idea. So how do I get an idea when I want it on demand? Then you practice these steps or these examples, and then it comes, right? So, and you can see by my background, I'm surrounded by inspiration. I'm surrounded by all kinds of things that, and you can't see the rest of my studio, but I've got, it's junk all over the place. It, creative chaos is what I call it.
And it's not, this isn't something that's out of your reach, folks. I mean, I know a lot of you might be thinking to yourselves, well, I have a graphics guy that I go to and I pay them. Whenever I have a client that has this type of project for me, I go to my graphics guy. Or maybe you go to Kevin. Maybe.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's hold on to that for a minute, because you make a key point. A graphics designer is not a sequential storyteller. It's a difference.
Mm.
So if you're looking for somebody to do visual sequential narratives where the visuals tell the story, then look in the comics industry, because they know, they have that understanding. They know how to visually tell a story. They're given a script by somebody who wrote the script, and then they have to create the visuals to support that script in a visual narrative, in pacing and environment and camera angles, all of those things that comic artists do to make that happen. But a graphic designer, graphic artist is not this. It's two different, completely two different disciplines.
Sure. I was thinking more of the interface thing that you drew, though, and just in general. And when you feel like you can't do that kind of stuff, hey, we're hitting past our usual 45 minutes, but
that's all right. Let me do one more.
Okay, one more.
What is this scene? Tell me what's going on here.
That's somebody else in the chat watching us on their iPhone.
Okay. What time of day is it?
Morning.
How do
because
you know
there's
that?
Coffee and the sun in the window.
Okay. And, you know, the clock's kind of a dead giveaway, right?
Well, the clock could be, you know, AM or PM. It's the other visuals that contextualize maybe.
Same scene, but now what's going on?
Time has passed. Chelsea's saying, me about to lecture people on Facebook.
The difference between the two is, one, it's just a person sitting at, like you said, right? It's morning, there's coffee, that kind of, there's that cue that even if the clock wasn't on the wall, the coffee and the sun shining establishes the time of day. So just those visuals can place us in a setting, and it clearly we're at the breakfast table. The second scene says, if you look, now you get into more details. You look in the background, you see a picture portrait of a family. So now we have a family. This, it's not a single person. This is a husband, right? So he's got a family. And oh, by the way, they got a pet. Happens to be a cat. So now we're looking in the, you know, in more of a, okay, now we're looking in the environment of a family early in the morning. So these little details can communicate establishing a setting, establishing mood. We can even, we're already establishing a little bit of character background, a little character development background on who this person is. So we can do this for a number of scenes without a single word or a single narration. And then once, because the importance here, getting back to the science we were talking about, the importance here is we're drawing the learner, the student, the viewer, we're drawing them into the story. And once we have them where they feel representative and it's relatable to them, now they're invested in that story and they're motivated to keep going. What's around the corner? And then it just gets into, you know, storytelling techniques about cliffhangers and dropping clues, and then you help folks motivate through it. So if you think of it from a digital storytelling visual narrative approach, yeah, then you can motivate your learners through your course, whether they
very cool
care or not. You know, you cared about putting it together. That's all that matters.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, as always.
Brent, earlier in a few minutes ago, Brent mentioned or used the phrase "step away," and Kevin is part of a conference, non-conference kind of a thingy that is happening. And I threw a
creative design retreat.
Yeah, creative design retreat. I threw a link into the chat. Folks are interested in that chance to maybe practice not just this stuff, but, you know, other aspects of putting your creativity to better work for you, finding that inner
creative problem team. Solving. We never did get the questions. Were there questions?
There weren't any questions. Folks are, you know, it's early in the morning for some folks, late in the afternoon for others, and you know, some of them
are getting
had lunch.
Into the groove, but
yeah, some of them have had lunch and they're settling into that late anyway. Folks, just a reminder, as always, our time here that Brent and I spend on Idiotic is sponsored by Domino, learning systems makers of Domino One. And if that's something of interest, go ahead and check out the Domino website. Learn more about what Domino One could maybe do for you, for your team. Yep.
And if you want to go into our Crowdcast channel, you can save your spot for the next five upcoming episodes.
We got a rocking fall season, and there's lots of good stuff. So before you depart today, make sure you link on to the sign up for the next few episodes. Some really great stuff next
week. Thanks,
everybody. Next week is on nudging.
Adios, everybody.
Thanks so much, gang.
Bye-bye.
Adios.